Jayaranamadava Jayakundaliyave Jayaranamadava Jayakundaliyave Gopijana Pallava Jayakiribaru Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna. Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi ki jai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath, Shyamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Mathuram Kijai, Jagadavasami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimadi Talasi Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda, Hari Hari Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharane, Nevashesha Sunyavadhe, Paschachate Jatarane. So, Omagana Tumidanda Shakananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So continuing with our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita from the seventh chapter, Adi Lila. And this chapter is dealing with the pancha tattva, the five aspects of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. So, we're going to continue. I've been asked by some people to do the reading myself. So I was thinking about this. You know, I like it when other people read, but some people have said it's clearer if I do the reading myself and I can comment. So I was thinking of some sort of win-win solution to allow more participation, because one of the reasons for using Zoom, which I'm getting pretty tired of right now, but one of the reasons for using Zoom is that Zoom is interactive. And so we haven't had that much interactivity on Zoom. So what I thought right now, several things. One thing is that instead of waiting till the end to do questions, that people can raise their hand. Yeah, Krishnapriya agreed with me. So people can raise their hand in the middle, which will probably disturb me like anything, in the middle to ask a question, or maybe not even, well, actually, how else without disturbing me? I guess I raise their hand. What can I say? Raise their hand. Is there another way to alert me without doing that? Oh, let me try to think. Oh, yeah, raising their hand. Yeah, sure. Okay, that's easy. Because I can see raised hands, I will keep the participant window open on the side. How about that? I think I can do that without blocking. We'll see. Anyway, so then you can raise your hand rather than send a message. How about that? That won't disturb me. If you have a question to ask in the middle of, you know, a good question, not like, Maharaj, what did you eat tonight? Or, you know, why are you so grumpy tonight? Or something like that. You know, some philosophical question based upon the text that we've been reading. That way we'll keep it more interactive rather than keeping all the questions at the end. Let's just try that tonight. And so I will see if we can keep, yeah, I think I should be able to do that. Keep the participant window open, and then I'll see a raised hand on the right. Let's try that. Okay, so now we'll go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, let's see if we can clear our window like that. This is going to be a little bit of a challenge. So ultimately, we want to morph away from Zoom and go to a virtual reality conferencing software where all of you can have avatars and we can be sitting around talking to each other about Krishna. That's the next step, because I'd like to be on the cutting edge of Krishna consciousness. So anyways, so that's the next step, but that may not occur for several months until I figure out the right software for doing that, where you can actually all be present in a room virtually with me while I'm reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because seeing all these squares makes me think that you are all square. So anyway, so let's go on. Without further ado to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let me see if I can do this. Hold on a second. Give me a second to try to get this set up. Okay. Let's see if we can do the participants. Seems to block it. Let's see. Oh, I think I see how to do it. Sharing a window. All right. I know you're seeing something blocking. Let me just check this on Facebook just to see what it looks like. Give me a second. This is just setting it up for the first time. Like this. Hold on. Yeah, it's blocking. Oh, Govinda, let's see. There must be a way to do this. I think this is the way to do it. Yeah. Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. I think this will work like this. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, now I'll be able to see, if you raise your hands, I'll be able to see and then allow you to unmute. Yeah, this is going to work out quite well. Here we go. Puchila Tamara Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Keshava Bharatira Shisha Tate Tumadanya. Prakashananda Sarasati then said, I understand that your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You are a disciple of Sri Keshava Bharati, and therefore you are glorious. So remember, Prakashananda Sarasati is the head of the, I'm just reiterating what we talked about yesterday. He is the head of the Mayavadi impersonalists in Benares. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been invited for lunch with all the sannyasis. And Lord Chaitanya was invited by a Brahmin. And Lord Chaitanya wanted to deal with these Mayavadi sannyasis who were blaspheming him because he was dancing and chanting and not doing the proper thing of just studying Vedanta and being miserable like all the other sannyasis. So therefore, they invited him, or the Brahmin invited him, to take lunch with all the other sannyasis. Of course, they were all vegetarians, so that's all right. And Lord Chaitanya sat down in the place in which they washed their feet. And they were shocked to see that. And Prakashananda Saraswati, and he also manifested a brilliance like 10,000 suns simultaneously. And Prakashananda Saraswati went and picked him up by the hand and brought him to a respectable sitting place. And that was Prakashananda Saraswati's first devotional service, in spite of being a Mayavadi rascal. Okay, that's the history. So Prakashananda Saraswati said, I understand that your name is... I read that. Next verse. Sampadayika sanyasi tumi raha e gurme ki kananayama sabara nakara darshane. You belong to our Shankara Sampradaya and live in our village, Varanasi. Why then do you not associate with us? Why is that you avoid even seeing us? And this is an explanation we gave yesterday. A Vaishnava in the second stage of advancement in spiritual knowledge can understand four principles, namely the Supreme Personality of God, the devotees, the innocent, and the jealous. And he behaves differently with each. He tries to increase his love of Godhead, he makes friendship with devotees, and preaches Krishna consciousness among the innocent. But he avoids the jealous who are envious of the Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself exemplified such behavior. This is why Prakasananda Saraswati inquired why he did not associate or even talk with them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed this by example that a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement generally should not waste his time talking with Mayavadi sannyasis, but that when there are arguments on the basis of Shastra, Vaishnava must come forward to talk and defeat them in philosophy. In other words, let me explain this. They always have arguments on the basis of Shastra, but if it's a public thing where these Mayavadis are influencing innocent people, then we, or Vaishnavas, come forward to defeat them. Because we don't want innocent people to be misled. But if it's just them talking amongst each other, then, you know, let them do what they're going to do, those rascals. According to Mayavadi sannyasis, only one who takes sannyas in the direct, in the disciplic succession from Shankaracharya is a Vedic sannyasi. Sometimes it is challenged that the sannyasis who are preaching the Krishna conscious movement are not genuine because they do not belong to Brahmin families. For Mayavadis do not offer sannyas to one who does not belong to a Brahmin family by birth. Unfortunately, however, they do not know that at present everyone is born a Shudra. Kalo, Shudra, Sambhavaha. It is to be understood that there are no Brahmins in this age because those who claim to be Brahmins simply on the basis of birthright do not even have the Brahminical qualifications. However, even if one is born in a non-Brahmin family, if he has the Brahminical qualifications, he should be accepted as a Brahmin, as confirmed by Srila Narada Muni and the great saint Sridhar Swami. This is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Narada and Sridhar Swami completely agree that one cannot be a Brahmin by birthright, but must possess the qualities of a Brahmin. Thus, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we never offer the sannyas order to a person whom we do not find to be qualified in terms of the prescribed Brahminical principles. Although it is a fact that unless one is a Brahmin, he cannot become a sannyasi, it is not a valid principle that an unqualified man who is born in a Brahmin family is a Brahmin, whereas a Brahminically qualified person born in a non-Brahmin family cannot be accepted. The Krishna consciousness movement strictly follows the injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam, avoiding misleading heresy and manufactured conclusions. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, we find the verse, Chaturvarnam Maya Shustam Guna Karma Vibhagashal. One is known to be, you know, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, according to his qualities and work. There's an interesting story in the Upanishads about one particular individual named Satchikama. Some of you might have heard this story before. He was born in a family that basically is probably lower than Shudra, because he did not know who his father was. And you can understand that his mother was not the most chaste lady in the three worlds. So anyway, so he approaches his guru, Gautama Rishi, and he says, Guru Maharaj, can I become your disciple? And Guru Maharaj only wanted to initiate Brahmins. So he said to this young man, who is your father? And he said, I don't know. And the guru said, well, ask your mother. So he went to his mother and he said, Ma, who's dad? And his mother said, really? Could have been any one of a number of people. Don't really know. At that particular point, they did not have genetic testing. Nowadays, of course, you can figure out who your father is, who your grandfather is, what country your ancestors came from just by taking a little swab from your cheek and send it into a chemical laboratory, and they'll send you back your family tree. Exciting, isn't it? No. Just a body. There's the body. I mean, who cares that your ancestors came from Kalamazoo? There is such a place as Kalamazoo. It's in the United States. So anyway, so who cares about these things? So anyway, so he went back to his Guru Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj said, who is your father? And he said to his Guru Maharaj, it's not known, because my mother doesn't know which man had a relationship with her and her, and as a result I was born. And Guru Maharaj said, you are a Brahmin because you told the truth. That's the point. So Brahmin is telling the truth. Samadhamaktapaksho cham shantir arjivamevacham. Yanaviganamastikyam brahmakarmasam bhavajam. How do you know someone's a Brahmin? They're equal poise, self-controlled, austere, tolerant, religious, cultivating knowledge, practicing the knowledge that they cultivate. Anyway, some of these are some of the qualities by which you could know who is a Brahmin. And in the same way, there's qualities listed in the Gita about Kshatriya. So that's how you can tell who's Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And so, ultimately, everyone, before they take initiation or undergo samskara, samskara means reformatory practices, they're all Shudras, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. No matter what family you're born in, unless you're a Nitya Siddha devotee, which is highly unlikely, highly, highly unlikely, then Kalo Shudra Sambhava. And the only way to rectify is that samskara bhavetvijam. The only way you can become Brahminical is by the proper samskaras. Dvija means twice born. Dvija is also a name for a bird, because a bird is a twice born. A snake is twice born. Why? Not because they are Brahmins, but because they came out of an egg. Their mother laid an egg, and then later on, the egg hatched. So that's two births. So because you did not come out of an egg. I mean, maybe your mother had an egg in the womb, but that's not the same thing. Anyway, what's actually interesting, you can also call a kangaroo twice born. Because a kangaroo comes out of its mother's womb, but it's not ready to face the world. So it goes back in the mother's pouch, and not only a kangaroo, but all the marsupials. Marsupials are that's a class of entities like kangaroos that have two births. So if you want to be Dvija, become a kangaroo. Anyway, next text, sannyasi haiya karanartana gayana bhavuka sabasange lanakara sankirtana. You are a sannyasi. Why then do you indulge in chanting and dancing, engaging your sankirtan movement in the company of the fanatics? This is a challenge by Prakasananda Saraswati to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasha that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the object of Vedanta philosophical research, has very kindly determined who is an appropriate candidate for study of Vedanta philosophy. The first qualification of such a candidate is expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtika. Srinadapi su nichena tarariva. Eva is another way. Sometimes api or eva. Api sahishna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita 17, the chapter of the Adi Lila, text 31. This statement indicates that one can hear or speak about Vedanta philosophy through the disciplic succession. One must be very humble and meek, more tolerant than a tree, and more humble than the grass. One should not claim respect for himself. One must have these qualifications to be eligible to understand Vedic knowledge. So that's also important insofar as devotees preaching Krishna consciousness. We were asked to preach Krishna consciousness basically from the first day we joined the movement. So you can do that if you repeat in a humble fashion what you have heard without mental concoction, then you're empowered by Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach, even if you're not that expert in the philosophy. Vedanta Patana Jnana Sanyasira Dharma Taha Charikara Kena Bhavu Kera Karma. Meditation and study of Vedanta are the sole duties of a sannyasi. Why do you abandon these to dance with fanatics? Purport. As explained in regard to verse 41, Mayavadi sannyasis do not approve of chanting and dancing. They just sit there all day long feeling miserable. That's their duty. Talking about philosophy like armchair scholars. Prakasananda Sarasati, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, misunderstood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a misled young sannyasi and therefore asked him why he indulged in the association of fanatics instead of executing the duty of a sannyasi. Prabhave Dekiye Toma Sakshad Narayana Hinachara Karakine Ite Ki Karana. You look as brilliant as if you were Narayan himself. Will you kindly explain the reason that you have adopted the behavior of lower class people? So due to renunciation, Vedanta study, meditation, and the strict regulative principles of their daily routine, Mayavadi sannyasis are certainly in a position to execute pious activities. Thus, Prakashananda Sarasati, on account of his piety, could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not an ordinary person, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshad Narayana, that means directly God. Excuse me. Prakashananda considered him to be Narayan himself. Mayavadi sannyasis address one another as Narayan because they think they're all going to be Narayan or merge with Narayan in the next life. Prakashananda Sarasati appreciated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already directly become Narayan, so he thought he had become Narayan. Crazy, no one becomes Narayan. He did not need to wait until his next life. One difference between the Vaishnava and Mayavadi philosophers is that Mayavadi philosophers think that after giving up their bodies, they're going to become Narayana by merging with his body. Whereas Vaishnava philosophers understand that after the body dies, they're going to have a transcendental spiritual body in which to associate with Narayana or Krishna. And as I said before, if any of you want to ask questions while we're going through this, you can raise your hands. And if you want to know how to raise your hands, it's usually, where is that? Now it changes all the time. There's a way. Yeah, like Rakesh just did. Yeah, you can actually do that. Yeah, you can do that in the participants window, which you can keep on the right side. Anyway, you don't have to look at it, but you can do it in the participants window. Rakesh, you have a question? I will allow you to unmute. What is your question?
Gurudev, my question is like, when we talk about soul, when we do our pious activities, we get soul is covered by three things, false ego, mind, and intelligence. So with our pious activities, with love of Godhead, soul becomes uncovered with that. And then we, what is transcendental body? Then if we have a transcendental body, so from material body, we go to the soul with our pious activity. And then what is transcendental body like? Where does that come?
That's there already. The transcendental body is there. It's a body of Satchit Ananda. I mean, Satchit Ananda form, Vigraha. And it's covered up right now. Just like your hand may be covered up by a glove, or your body may be covered by clothes. And in the same way, our transcendental body is there, but it's just covered by the subtle body and the gross body.
And soul is a transcendental body?
The soul is the same as your transcendental body. There's no difference. There's no duality. Your transcendental body is the soul. Okay?
Okay.
Ain't no difference. Ain't. If that's a proper word. There is no difference. Okay. Let me, Okay. Let me hold on a second. Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Let's continue. Prabhu kahe shuna shripada ihara karana guru more muka deki karila shashana. All right. This is actually really important. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Saraswati, "My dear sir, kindly hear the reason my spiritual master considered me a fool and therefore he chastised me." So the injunction is that one should always be a fool before the spiritual master. Now, I'll tell you a joke about that, all right? That does not mean that one should act like a fool before the spiritual master, you know? Like a spiritual master says, "Why are you so foolish?" You say, "Well, I'm just fulfilling the injunction that one's supposed to be a fool before the spiritual master." It's not really the point. One is supposed to be humble before the spiritual master. Humble before everybody, when to speak of the spiritual master. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting this humility that he had before his spiritual master and his spiritual master. Of course, it's not really true that Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master called him a fool. But Lord Chaitanya is doing something like it's a rhetorical teaching technique, okay? He's saying that my spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is taking the position, or by example, or not even an example, by telling the story, he's showing how the Mayavadis should act instead of thinking themselves to be very brilliant. So purport. When Prakasananda Saraswati inquired from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why he neither studied Vedanta nor performed meditation, Lord Chaitanya presented himself as number one fool in order to indicate that the present age, Kali Yuga, is an age of fools and rascals in which it is not possible to obtain perfection simply by reading Vedanta philosophy and meditating. The Shastras strongly recommend, and I think you know this quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also the Brihadaranyaka Purana, Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nascheva 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 Gatiranyata. I mean, this is something we used to chant on Sankirtan when we went out, in addition to chanting the holy name. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. People in general in Kali Yuga are so fallen that it is not possible for them to obtain perfection simply by studying the Vedanta Sutra. One should therefore seriously take to the constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So forget about everything else. Murka tumi Tomara nahika Vedanta adhikara Krishna mantra japa sara e mantra sara. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj comments in this connection, one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of his spiritual master. This acceptance of the words of the spiritual master is called Shrota Vakya, which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instructions without deviation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that the disciple must accept the words of the spiritual master as his life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here confirms this by saying that since his spiritual master ordered him only to chant the holy name of Krishna, he always chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to this direction. Krishna mantra japa sara. That means always chant the Krishna mantra. A mantra sara. Krishna is the origin of everything. Therefore, when a person is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that his relationship with Krishna has been fully confirmed. Lacking Krishna consciousness, one is only partially related with Krishna and is therefore not in his constitutional position. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of the entire universe, he nevertheless took the position of a disciple in order to teach by example how a devotee should strictly follow the orders of a spiritual master and executing the duty of always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One who is very much attracted to the study of Vedanta philosophy must take lessons from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this age, no one is actually competent to study Vedanta, and therefore it is better that one chant the holy name of the Lord, which is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, as Krishna himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, text 15, Vedaischa sarar, ahameva vedyo vedanta krid veda vedeva chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Only fools give up the service of the spiritual master and think themselves advanced in spiritual knowledge. In order to check such fools, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself presented the perfect example of how to be a disciple. A spiritual master knows very well how to engage each disciple in a particular duty, but if a disciple thinking himself more advanced than his spiritual master gives up his orders and acts independently, he checks his own spiritual progress. Every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna and must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before his spiritual master. That's mean he acts like a fool. Therefore, sometimes pseudo-spiritualists accept a spiritual master who is not even fit to become a disciple because they want to keep him under their control. This is useless for spiritual realization. We call that sometimes a pet spiritual master. Some people have a pet cat or dog, and some people have a pet spiritual master. One who imperfectly knows Krishna consciousness cannot know Vedanta philosophy. A showy display of Vedanta study without Krishna consciousness is a feature of the external energy, Maya, and as long as one is attracted by the inepties of this ever-changing material energy, he deviates from devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me finish. I'll get your question, Divya Nitai Leela, as soon as I finish this purport. An actual follower of Vedanta philosophy is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, who is the greatest of the great and the maintainer of the entire universe. Unless one surpasses the field of activities and service to the limited, one cannot reach the unlimited. Knowledge of the unlimited is actual Brahma Jnana, or knowledge of the Supreme. Those who are addicted to fruitive activities and speculative knowledge cannot understand the value of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which is always completely pure, eternally liberated, and full of spiritual bliss. One who has taken shelter of the holy name of the Lord, which is identical with the Lord, does not have to study Vedanta philosophy, for he has already completed such study. One who is unfit to chant the holy name of Krishna, but thinks that the holy name is different from Krishna and thus takes shelter of Vedanta study in order to understand him, must be considered a number one fool, as confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his personal behavior and philosophical speculators who want to make Vedanta philosophy and academic career are also considered to be within the material energy. A person who always chants the holy name of the Lord, however, is already beyond the ocean of nescience, and thus even a person born in a low family who engages in chanting the holy name of the Lord is considered to be beyond the study of Vedanta philosophy. Let's take your question, because I don't know how long this purport is. Okay, Divinitai Lili, so ask your question.
Hare Krishna, Guru. So, I was just wondering that before Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he has already defeated great scholars who came to Navadvip, like Keshav Kashmiri, who was a great, renowned scholar. He has already defeated, Mahaprabhu has defeated. So, by the time Mahaprabhu could have come to Banaras, this news that he was defeated in Navadvip would have reached to the Mayavadi sannyasis. Then how is it that they did not consider thinking that Mahaprabhu is the person who defeated Keshav Kashmiri and he is fool? How do you, I mean,
Well, he wanted to give the example that in the beginning, when he first took initiation from his spiritual master, he was chastised by his spiritual master. He didn't say, he never told the Vedantists that he never studied Vedanta philosophy. But they knew about it. Obviously, it was famous that he had defeated Keshava Kashmiri in a debate. But at the same time, he wanted to give the example of his connection with his spiritual master. Now, obviously, this was just a story, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never got chastised by his spiritual master in such a way. So he was just trying to teach them. And they knew he knew Vedanta. But another thing about Maitavadi is it's not that you just know Vedanta. You're supposed to continually study it every day, hours and hours and hours. And Lord Chaitanya wasn't doing that after he took sannyas. Okay, so that answers that. So, lower hand. Rakesh, you have another question? You raised your hand again. No?
So, yes. Question I have regarding my previous question. Soul has no form. So how do we get a transcendental body
Backtrack. Who said the soul has no form?
Oh, that's what I thought. How does the soul look like?
The soul has a spiritual form, not a material form. You cannot perceive the soul's form with your material eyes. Your soul has a form. My soul has a form. Everybody's soul has a form.
It's not a jyoti or something?
No. Your soul has an eternal form, and that form right now is covered up.
So when they talk about Brahm Jyoti, soul going into Brahm Jyoti as a light bulb or something, so that is not true at all.
Yeah, the soul goes into the Brahma Jyoti as a light bulb, right? And the soul, but the soul's form is still not manifest in the Brahma Jyoti.
So soul form manifests when you are even above the Brahm Jyoti level.
The soul's form manifests when there is light of Krishna consciousness. Just like if it's dark. Let's say, I'm sitting here, I got some lights on me. But if I turn off all the lights because it's nighttime, then my form is not manifest to people's eyes. It's unmanifest. But as soon as I turn on the light, this is just a metaphor. As soon as I turn on the light, then my form is manifest. So our light, the light is off, so to speak. We're not talking about the light of the Brahma Jyoti. We're talking about the light of Krishna consciousness. Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. Maya is the absence of Krishna or darkness. Darkness has no separate identity in and of itself. Darkness is the absence of light. So we're in the darkness of ignorance, so we don't perceive our spiritual form. But the form is there. All right? Whoops. Okay, so let's continue. Srimad Bhagavatam states, Aho bhata swapa chato gariyan. This is actually a wonderful verse. Yajivagrivartate namatubyam. They push the pas te juhuva shashnararya ramanucha nama granantiyate. If a person born in a family of dog eaters, and let me tell you something, dog eaters are considered more elevated than people who eat cows. Now in America, it's going to be very hard for people to understand that because it's less sinful to eat a dog than to eat a cow. Eating a cow is the most sinful type of meat you can eat. Better you eat a cockroach, better you eat frogs, anything you want to eat. But no cows. It's not that you have my permission to eat anything you want to eat, but just don't, if you're going to eat meat, eats something else other than a cow. Takes the chanting the holy name of Krishna. It is to be understood that in his previous life he must have executed all kinds of austerities and penances and performed all the Vedas. And actually, this verse says more than that. Let's go back to the verse. Brahmanuchar nama garantiye. He's attained the status of being a Brahmin. That's what the verse says. If he's chanting Hare Krishna. Rig Veda taya Veda sama Veda pyatarkvanaha adhitastena yenoktam hayar ikyaksharatvayam. A person who chants the two syllables Hari has already studied the four Vedas, Sama, Rig, Yajur, and Atharva. Taking advantage of these verses, there are some sahajiyas, that means people take things cheaply. That's what Prabhupada says, who, taking everything very cheaply, consider themselves to be elevated Vaishnavas, but do not care even to touch the Vedanta Sutra or Vedanta philosophy. A real Vaishnava, however, should, study Vedanta philosophy. But after studying Vedanta, one does not adopt the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. He is no better than a Mayavadi. Therefore, one should not be a Mayavadi, yet one should not be unaware of the subject matter of Vedanta philosophy. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his knowledge of Vedanta in his discourses with Prakashananda Saraswati. So how do we become aware of Vedanta philosophy? It's not that we have to study the Vedanta Sutra. We simply have to read and understand and study the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature commentary on the Vedanta Sutra written by the Vedanta Sutra's author, Srila Vyasadeva. Thus it is to be understood that a Vaishnava should be completely conversant with Vedanta philosophy and is all in all, and therefore be unattached, studying Vedanta is all in all, therefore be unattached to the chanting of the holy name. A devotee must know the importance of simultaneously understanding Vedanta philosophy and chanting the holy names. If by studying Vedanta one becomes an impersonalist, he has not been able to understand Vedanta. This is confirmed, again, Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, by all the Vedas I am to be known. Vedanta, anta means end, Vedanta, so means the end of knowledge. The ultimate end of knowledge is knowledge of Krishna, who is identical with his holy name. That's all you have to know. Cheap Vaishnavas, Sahajas, do not care to study Vedanta philosophy as commented on by the four Acharyas. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, there's a Vedanta commentary called the Govinda Bhasha, but the Sahajas consider such commentaries to be untouchable philosophical speculation, and they consider the Acharyas to be mixed devotees. Thus, they clear their way to H-E-double-L. So yesterday, we talked about the Govinda Bhasha with Baladeva Vidyabhushana, who heard the Govinda Bhasha and wrote it down when it was dictated by Govinda, the deity. These are very important verses here, so if anyone has a question, just raise your little hand. So Krishna mantra haite habe samsara mochana, Krishna nama haite pave krishnara charana. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Raise your hand, don't send if you're going to do a chat. That's something a little elevated. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jayavadharani Soha has 11 bhavas. That's called a Katasha bhava. And that has to do with the process that we do not follow, because Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, this is not our process. Yes, we do have these 11 aspects, but the process of giving people those 11 aspects by the spiritual master is not done after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Our method is that we preach Krishna consciousness, and when we preach Krishna consciousness and please the spiritual master, then deserve, then desire. This is a really important point. really, really important point. Because people, they want to jump over the head of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not utilize that process with any of his disciples who were quite advanced, including Prabhupada, who was very advanced. It's called Siddha Pranali. He did not utilize that process. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that process, and there were other aspects of bhakti that were done by previous acharyas too. I mean, there's a lot of things that were done by previous personalities in our sampradaya that we do not do because we're not qualified, or it's not that Prabhupada wanted us to do those things. I think it, you know, it's a very important point that was just raised. You know, you go to Radha Kund. Prabhupada was very concerned when devotees went to Radha Kund. He said, "This it'll spoil everything when people go to Radha Kund and they associate with the Babaji's." And the Babaji's are against Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for one reason. Like amongst many other reasons, they did not give Siddha Pranali. And they, and even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brother, even his brother criticized him for not doing that. His brother's name was Lalit Prasad Thakur. And Prabhupada said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his brother had a transcendental disagreement. So we should not criticize his brother, which I'm not going to do. I'm just going to mention that there was that disagreement. So we are wholly dependent upon realizing our spiritual identity on the mercy of his divine grace of the Prabhupada, of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our whole disciplic succession. And when it's time to realize the 11 aspects, or bhavas, you know, Ekadasha bhava as it's called, Ekadasha, just like you have Ekadashi, which means the 11th day of the moon, full moon, 11th day after the full moon, 11th day after the new moon. If you don't know what that is, well, you're in the wrong class. Anyway, so Ekadashi or Ekadasha means 11. So it means 11 aspects of the personality, like what do you look like, what clothes do you wear, you know, et cetera, like that. That is not one of our processes. And you don't find Prabhupada talking about it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talked about it. It's a bona fide process. But we follow the processes given by our previous acharyas. We don't invent or accept or jump over the heads of our previous acharyas. That's really important. So I just want to make that point. Yes, we do have an eternal form. It is a fact. We have these bhavas. That is a fact. But it's not something that we concentrate on, or we don't do the Siddha Pranali, which is not Prabhupada's. Yes, it is. We do have 11 aspects to our personality. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talked about these 11 aspects. We are not denying that. But it's something that we don't get into at this particular point. It is revealed. This is Prabhupada's instruction to us. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And I am faithful to Srila Prabhupada, and I am faithful to what Prabhupada, I'm not going to go beyond what Prabhupada has instructed us. Prabhupada told us to read the books of the acharyas, but Prabhupada, as far as the practices that we follow the practices given to us by Prabhupada, and we understand the historical context of the books of the acharyas. The historical context, and we understand what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, and what Srila Prabhupada did. And we understand what our adhikara is. It's important points. No one's going to argue. I'm not saying that what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said is wrong. It's absolutely correct. But there's certain practices that are not applicable, such as if you read the Jiva Dharma, you'll read about certain practices that are perfectly all right, wonderful, ecstatic, and everything like that, but are not applicable. If you're a follower of Prabhupada, if you're not a follower of Prabhupada, that's another thing. That's another thing. You know, so we have to decide, you know, who we're followers of. I am a follower of Prabhupada. Whatever I do, if I want to have the adhikar, then I need to be in tune with what Prabhupada wanted. You know, spiritual things, obviously. I drive a car, you know, it's a different thing. But spiritual things, we have to be in tune with how what Prabhupada gave us. You know, what do they say? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And I have full faith that by serving Prabhupada, yes, I will recognize the 11 bhavas, you know, aspects of my transcendental body. But my concern is, Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavata Bhakti Ahuita Kitwaye. I simply would be interested in serving and pleasing Prabhupada life after life. I mean, that was the teaching that Prabhupada gave us, the emphasis that Prabhupada gave us. One may say that's less advanced, and I have read the books of the Acharyas, I have read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works, not all of them, but the major ones, and I am aware of these things. Okay. Anyway, it's a private message, so whoever I was dealing with, it's all right, I'm not going to mention their name. It was a private message. Thank you. Okay. Oh, it's a message to everyone. Yes. So the spirit soul does have 11 bhavas or aspects. All right. Whew. We got into that simply by chanting. I wonder if I should go for just questions and answers at this particular point. Okay. Anyway, it seemed to work out pretty well. So let's go. And we'll allow you all to speak. If anyone wants to know their spiritual identity, you can speak now. Let me know.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
All right, your spiritual identity is a servant of Krishna. Anybody else want to know? Servant of Krishna. My first servant identity, as eternal identity, is you just have to remain obedient to me for the rest of the eternity.
Thank you, Gurudev. That's a very nice blessing.
The only other alternative is to be obedient to his mother-in-law. Okay, so anyway, so
question?
All right. Gopal Cohn is just joking. All right. So, yeah, let's have a question here. Mother T. Actually, it's like Mr. T.
Uh-huh.
Someone just said to me the other day they are very happy that Mr. T is no longer president. you are Mother T.
So in this day and age, because especially right now we're being, you know, it's just hard to survive sometimes. So many of us have gotten the habit of like just lying without being conscious of it. So how do we break out of that reflex?
Lying without being, I mean, sometimes to survive, like if you're a businessman, if you're a businessman, sometimes you have to lie. For you, there's no profit. Right?
Well, I mean, just in general, because like you're dealing with empathic communication, and because we're so used to communicating in a way that hurts one another. So when we interact, we feel like we're being attacked by someone, so it almost becomes like natural just to lie to avoid being hurt or feel like we have to defend ourselves. and that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. I'm not finding fault with that.
But how do we break out of that? Because you said, like, as Brahmins.
Well, then we should only reveal ourselves with people we trust, reveal ourselves or be completely open with people we trust. And otherwise, people can just step all over us. You know, you have to have some discrimination. Actually, one thing Prabhupada said was really funny. This is not exactly a lie. He said, like a successful household life means the man has to act like he's very attached to his wife, but be detached.
Yeah.
Am I beautiful? Yes, you are beautiful. Because if the husband tells his wife, compared to the deities, you're challenged. So anyways, he says, if the husband pulls out his shastras and says, you know, Boma Ijati. I know, he says, I'm trying to understand. Oh, yeah. Stool mucus in urine or something like that. Or tridatuke. That's what I was looking for. Tridatuke. Three dhatus that he's made of. Then it will actually lead to problems in household life. Of course, he has to see. I'm seeing Mother Irma's raising her hand, so I have to be nice now. Of course, he has to. So he has to think in a spiritual way that he loves his wife because she's a spirit soul. So, and she's part and parcel of Krishna. So, I really have to behave myself right now because my teacher's watching me.
So, I wouldn't pursue it anymore.
Yeah, don't pursue it because I'll get in trouble and then I'll fail school and it'll all be over for me. I will never hear the end of it. So, actually, you know, sometimes in ordinary dealings, we have to just like not be completely open just to protect ourselves. Of course, one who's a Brahmin has to tell the truth, but not has to tell the truth without being asked. In other words, as I give the example many times before, if someone is ugly, it's not that you walk up to them and say that you're as ugly as sin. You have to, and you know, if someone asks, am I ugly? You don't say, yes, ma'am, you are. you have to say something like, you're interesting. I know I'm trying to avoid it.
I guess the point is how can we be, is it possible to become more aware if we're altering the truth?
But we don't want to alter the Krishna conscious truth. That's not the point. But sometimes to protect ourselves, you know, if someone's coming to attack you and someone says, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee. I mean, if someone says, I'm killing all the Hare Krishna devotees. Are you a Hare Krishna devotee? You know, I'm not going to just like sacrifice my life and say, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, shoot me. You know, there's like Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he was preaching in Russia or previous Soviet Union, and he was hiding the fact that he was a Hare Krishna devotee so he could carry out Prabhupada's mission. There's a higher principle. Okay, I guess I will have to call on Mataji, Mother Irmila, she has her hand raised. Okay.
No, that was just you were asking who wants to know their spiritual identity, so I raised my
hand. Oh, okay. I was getting scared. Okay. So, yeah. Your spiritual identity is a servant of Radharani. So, and Krishna. An inside joke. So anyway, so Gopal, you have a question?
Yes, Gurudev. A little bit of a follow-up to what Mother Tulsi was asking. So we see that sometimes, you know, we come to Krishna consciousness at a later time in life, 20s, even 30s or later. And throughout our whole lives, we've always had to protect ourselves by not revealing the truth because, you know, the world is getting very, the conflict is, I mean, especially we've seen in the last 4 years, a turbocharge of this principle where there's so much, as soon as one opens one's mouth.
Divisiveness, a lot of divisiveness. Yeah, so what's the question?
And even cancel culture, like your whole life can be over just by saying the wrong thing. So
that's right.
When one is in such fight or flight mode for their entire formative years, how do they find the strength or the capacity at all to trust, you know, even those who are trustworthy, like real advanced Vaishnavas?
That is a challenge because, you know, PTSD.
Yes.
You know, you've, you know, once burned, twice wary, as they say. But, you know, sometimes you just can't just speak out. I mean, like recently talking about the political situation, I've been meeting with some devotees who have different political views than I have. And I ask them what their political view is, and they respond with something that's diametrically opposed to what I'm thinking. And they ask me, so what do you think? And I say, well, I'm just listening. So you got to protect yourself. I mean, it's a real world out there. It's a dangerous world. So sometimes you can't really be just like vulnerable in front of people. But we have to have people that we trust. Dadati pratigranati guyamakyati prichati bungte bojyate chaiva. We have to actually have people who we can trust to reveal our minds to. Maybe it's just one, two, three people. What?
Let's say someone gets to the age of 25, 30, whatever they may be, and they've never in their lives met a single person, including their own parents, who they could trust. How does one learn at that point?
Well, I came to the age of 20. I'm a little older than that now. You can probably tell. But anyway, so I came to the age of 20, and I really didn't have anyone fully I could trust until I met Prabhupada. Prabhupada was the first person I trusted. I could really open my heart and trust. And, you know, I have other devotees who I trust, but I have to be very guarded.
So after 20 years of never knowing anyone who you could trust, how were you able to determine that you could trust Prabhupada?
A little birdie told me. That was my realization. I'm sorry. It's just realization that I could trust Prabhupada. Because he was someone who really cared for me. It was no ulterior purpose. Everyone I ran into before had an ulterior purpose, you know, personal purpose to fulfill. Someone who was simply interested in my benefit, engaging me in Krishna's consciousness for my benefit and for helping others too, you know. So, Prabhupada was like that. So I trusted Prabhupada 100%, and he wasn't going to cheat me. It's very hard to find people you can trust 100%. 100% reveal your mind. It's a fact. In this world, it's very, very hard. So I was fortunate to have Prabhupada. And, you know, I have friends in Krishna consciousness who I can trust now, but they're devotees. What do they say? Trust but verify. Or there's a funny saying in America. You know, in America, how it says on the, it used to say, I don't know if it still says, on the dollar bill, in God we trust. I haven't read a dollar bill in a long time. Because they use credit cards. Anyway, so in God we trust. And so we have a saying, in God we trust, everybody else pays cash. So, you know, one has to be a very advanced devotee for us to be able to put our complete faith in them. It, you know, it's 100% faith.
But if we ourselves are not advanced, how can we tell?
How can we tell? Krishna will help you. I mean, I joined the movement at 20 years of age, and then it was apparent that Prabhupada was someone who I could trust. Okay, we've got, let's, two more questions, because it's getting late. Oh my God. My Google Home is talking again. No. Wait a second. Who told you to speak?
Normally you say, hey, Google. I don't know why does it keep saying that. Normally you start with, hey, Google.
I never say, hey, Google, but it recognizes, you know, it's not perfect. It's not like, it's not like you, Rishikesh, but it's just not perfect.
I also have it, but it never interrupts me. I just have to say, hey, Google, then she starts speaking.
Oh, you just have to say, hey, Google, stop?
No, that's the way it's configured. It will not pick up any conversation unless you say, hey, Google.
Anyway, mine is not submissive like yours is. Okay, let's just take real quickly, Krishnapriya. You got a question or no?
Yes, Gurudev, semi-based senses. So when you were speaking about trust the other day, my Guru Maharaj was giving a class and somebody asked about that, like that sometimes you reveal your mind and then that you can't always trust the people that you reveal it to. And then one point that I brought up that I thought maybe you, and he brought it up, I thought maybe you could elaborate on, was that Krishna is always with us and that we need to develop that trust in Krishna, that Krishna is making all the different arrangements that we need. He knows what's going on in our heart at a particular time. So I was reflecting on that. And another class I heard by someone else saying how we need to learn to be simple and not duplicitous.
Yes, we need to be simple and not duplicitous, but we have to be practical when dealing with this material world too.
Right.
I would say that it's a dangerous place. You know, we got to be really careful.
Of course. But I mean, in our spiritual life,
in our spiritual life, we should be very, very simple and not duplicitous. But when we're out there in this world, you know, it is a dangerous place out there.
Well, yeah, you get your head cut off easily.
Yeah, especially if you're in the wrong political party. So
yeah.
So we trust in Krishna. Like I said, in God we trust. Everyone else pays cash. So, Yomam Pashati Sarvacha Starvam Jamai Pashati Tasham Napravashan Me. Pranashati. One should see Krishna everywhere. It sees everything in Krishna, and he's never lost to Krishna. Yomam Pashati Sarva at 6:30 in the Bhagavad Gita. So, we trust Krishna, but we should be careful when revealing our minds. Revealing our minds in confidence should only be with a trusting relationship. Okay, we're just getting short in time.
I just had one more question in relation to that. So at this point in our life, it seems to me that we have to work on ourselves becoming trustworthy, that we have to be the people that we want other people to be.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to be trustworthy, completely trustworthy. And this way people will trust us and we can guide them in Krishna consciousness. To be guru means you have to be completely trustworthy. And predictable.
Yeah, predictable.
Trustworthy is not just like a question of keeping confidence or like that, but predictable. It's now that you should be able to control your senses. It shouldn't be like one day you're in a bad mood, next day you're in a good mood. That's part of Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Mudra Pashta Vegam. So regardless of the physical or psychophysical situation that you're in, one has to be Samadarsha is stable. Samadhamma, self-controlled, stable, predictable. It's not that, you know, sometimes you walk up to someone and they will bite your head off. And other times they'll be the kindest person you've ever met in your life. You know, you walk up to them, can I talk to you? like that alligator that I was that almost got bitten by when I was canoeing the other day. Some people like that alligator people. Okay, anyway, so we have to end now. Just be careful. I mean, this is, you know, this is a material world. It's actually getting more and more dangerous. More and more dangerous. So, you know, tell the truth, yeah, but be careful. Sometimes protect yourself or protect others, then there's a little, you know, freshness. Okay. Interesting. So thank you very much. We'll see everybody later or tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.